Well, good morning. I was thinking as we were singing that song that obviously we're so grateful for the love of God, where He chases us down, where He lights up shadows, where He knocks doors down to get to us. But you know, sometimes He uses people to do that. That it's not just this ambiguous love of God. But Scripture tells us that it's His love is shed abroad in our hearts. And His love compels us. His love constrains us. And so as He pours His love into us, we get to pour that love out to other people. We get to reach out in the love of Jesus to others. And my hope and prayer is that this church, that we as Cornerstone Church are able to demonstrate the love of God to one another. And that you, not only you know, but you feel the love of God from one another, that we're able to demonstrate and clearly articulate in our words and interactions, we love you. I love you. You are loved here in this place. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about fasting and prayer. And one of the things that I think is really important about fasting is our national church has called, or we're combining with our national Foursquare churches from all across our country in a week-long time of prayer and fasting, is we can do the right thing at the wrong time, and we can do the wrong thing at the right time, and hopefully we won't do the wrong thing at the wrong time, but I'd really like to lean into doing the right thing at the right time. That we are people who do the right thing at the right time. Now, one of the marvelous things about Christmas and the season that we've just come through is there's a right thing to do, and that is to eat. And there is so much feasting that takes place at Christmas. People have typical or traditional kinds of food. We always eat this at Christmas, or this comes out. This only comes out at Christmas, and people enjoy some very unique and special things. People bring treats to their office or to their workplace, and usually there's overload at that. Even at a dentist's office or receptionist desks have all kinds of things on their desks. And there's staff lunches and family gatherings and friends get together. But not only is it people with a lot who enjoy this time, but there are people who will donate as well to those who don't have a lot at this time. So there'll be gifts to the food bank. They'll be helping out at places like the Mustard Seed. We looked into doing that, and they were full up on volunteers. People give of their time, their resources, their energy, their life, their love at Christmas, serving at shelters for Christmas dinner, for people to be able, everyone to be able to have a Christmas dinner. And Christmas is really a time for feasting. I love the song that Amy ministered to us on the 23rd, on Christmas Eve, Noel. And we talk about Noel, but I want to talk about Noe today. And what a difference an E makes. And that's we go from feasting to fasting. And that E makes a huge difference in the life of our church in this next week. Christmas is not a great time to fast. But January really is. January is a good time. And as Cornerstone Church, we join with our other Foursquare churches around Canada, and we set this week aside to pray and fast. But it's not just Foursquare churches. We've got friends pastoring other churches, other denominations. So many churches, the church sets a time in January, sets aside time in January to fast and to pray and to seek the Lord. Lots of churches do it. And it's not just fasting. It really is praying that we couple with the fasting times of prayer. It's not somehow, fasting is not somehow a hunger strike to somehow get God's attention and show Him that we're really serious and get Him to do something that He's been so far unwilling to do. It's not aligning God with our plans. It's really aligning our lives with His. And it's taking time to align ourselves with Him. So even this week, starting tomorrow night from 7 till 8, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, every night this week, we're gathering together here, right here, to pray. And it's not that we just want to gather together and be hungry. That's not going to go well. But if we gather together and we've taken time set aside to dedicate to the Lord and pray and call upon Him, now that's going to go well. One of the the things about fasting and feasting is really they're both scriptural. But feasting has to do with celebration, and there's so many times in the Old Testament and in the New where we see these feasts and these celebrations going on, and so much has to do with food. But there's also times of fasting, and it's not celebration, but it really is consecration, taking time dedicated, set aside to be with the Lord. When I say consecration, I don't mean consequences. Fasting is not consequences of feasting. So this is, it's not a diet. It's not about a diet. It's about a dedication. Fasting is not even focused on, and here's something really important. Fasting is not focused on what we're giving up. It's focused on what we're giving ourselves to. It's not if we miss the focus, we miss so much of why we're doing what we're doing. We take time away from eating, and instead we spend it on prayer. We're drawing away from food, and we're drawing to God, and it's for a season. See, in fact, Jesus said that if you do it at the wrong season, if you do it at the wrong time, it's just going to ruin everything. If you try and fast during a time of celebration, you're just out of sync. And if you're trying to feast during a time of fasting, you're out of step. And it's like putting a piece of cloth, a new cloth, on an old garment and running the thing through the wash. That new piece shrinks. And the tear is made worse. You ruin everything. It's not that Jesus was against fasting. In fact, he modeled it. And he made the statement, Jesus said, when you fast. He wasn't saying if you fast. He's saying when you fast. And so we set a time aside here to fast. Fast at the right time. This is the right time. It's the right season. And I also want to do it with the right heart and the right way. And so I'd like to talk to you about five areas where there's a battle in regards to fasting. For some, fasting may be easier than others. For me, I find fasting incredibly easy. Right until we start. Up until that point, it's easy. I've got this. I can make all kinds of rational choices and commitments of what I'm going to do. And then we start. And we get into it, and for the life of me, I can't figure out why this was a good idea. It's this moment and these thoughts that come through my mind. For some, you may fast a day. For some, you may fast a meal a day. For some, you may fast a particular type of food. For some, you may not be able to fast food. Some of the medication, etc., we're on, take with food. Maybe for you, and maybe for all of us, instead of some social media that we might give ourselves to and spend a lot of time on, maybe we could just change that from Facebook to Facebook and spend time. The amount of time that we would spend on social media to spend in God's Word, there would be a significant change for some of us to be able to do that. Here are some of the battles we face, and hopefully some things that I'll be able to talk with you about the difference. But dear ones, I think everybody can participate. We can all participate in some way, in some fashion, in some form. We can all participate in this. And this is not Lent. This isn't the season of Lent. What are you giving up for the fast? That's we're not just giving up things. We're giving ourselves to. So it's not just about deprivation. It's about giving ourselves to spending time with the Lord and spending time in His Word. There's a physical battle that we face when we're fasting. Withdrawal from, if you're coming off caffeine or sugar, the headaches that tend to roll around, how you feel crummy for not eating. Food gives us energy. And so sometimes we think, you know, if I just eat something, I'll have a little more strength. I mean, even when Elijah was fleeing from Jezebel, on route, the angel wakes him up, makes some food for him, and says, here, you need to have some food for the journey. You need some strength for the journey. Arise and eat and get some rest, and away you go. The multitude following Jesus, they had been following them for 3 days, and Jesus was concerned, having compassion on them, said, I'm not going to send them away. It's been 3 days. They're hungry. I don't want them to faint. Eating gives us some strength. But my hope is, even though there's a physical battle that goes on, is that we're able to discover some strength that doesn't just come from food. There's a spiritual strength. Jesus will say to his disciples at one point, he said, guys, I have food you know not of. It's to do the will of him who sent me. That there's a strength that comes. New King James will say, you will renew your strength. New Living says, you will find new strength. You will discover your strength. It's not just somehow the old gets better. There's a new strength that comes as we wait on the Lord. And I pray that that isn't just a spiritual truth. I pray that impacts us physically. Is that the strength that we draw on is really from the presence of the Lord as we wait on Him. There's a physical battle that we face, but there's also an emotional battle. It's very much like a person who doesn't get enough sleep. Have you ever met somebody who has a struggle with sleep and they're just a little edgy? None of you, I'm sure, but I tell you, my emotions get very raw when I don't get enough sleep. If I haven't been sleeping for a while, I've been having a tough time sleeping, I discover that what happens with me, and I'm not happy about it, but my tears just come right to the surface. And so sometimes if it's been a sleepless week on a Sunday morning, and we're in the presence of the Lord and we're in worship or I'm speaking on something, I find my tears aren't in check, that my emotions are just right at the surface. For others, it's not teary so much as deprived from sleep, deprived from food. Do you know what the phrase is? Hangry, right? There's an emotional battle that takes place when we haven't had food. It just affects our emotions. I can't tell you how many times Audrey has said to me, will you just eat something? Because she knows that I will be better if I just eat something. Hangry shows up, testy, short fused, snurky, snarky, jerky, whatever it is. Whatever the phrase is, our emotions are there. But may we find, instead of anger, as we draw close to the Lord, Scripture tells us in Psalm 16 that in His presence there's fullness of joy. And at His right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. And we can come and we can spend time with Him and there can be an impartation of joy. Instead of an anger or shortness, there can be a transformation, because as we behold Him, Corinthians says, as we behold Him, we are changed from glory to glory. I'm praying that a change takes place as we're with Him. In fact, Isaiah will tell us that He will keep us in perfect peace. Not only is there joy available, but there's peace available. As we trust in Him, as our minds, our hearts, our lives are fixed on Him, He will keep us in perfect peace. We can walk through this week with strength and with joy and with peace. And all of that is really produced by His Holy Spirit in us. One of the evidences, the Bible call it fruit, there's been something growing inside of us. The fruit of the Spirit, the evidence of His Spirit working in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. All of this, a work of His Spirit. Even as we begin the fast tomorrow, we're asking by His Spirit, God, give us self-control. That it be just not something that we have toughed out and we have accomplished, but by Your Spirit work in us. Not only is it physical and emotional, but there's a mental battle that goes on. And for me, I think this is the biggest one. Maybe one of the hardest battles that we fight when we fast. There appears to be lots of reasons when you're fasting not to fast. Doesn't make any sense saying no to this meal is going to somehow impact my spiritual life. I can come up with lots of reasons to adjust my commitment as time progresses. We just somehow... I need to, perhaps you do too. Have to remember that fasting wasn't our idea. It wasn't even our Foursquare President Steve's idea. It was God's idea. And Scripture will tell us that His thoughts are so much higher than ours, His ways so much higher than ours, as far as the heavens are above the earth. And in those moments, at least when I find that there's a mental battle, I'm so grateful for scriptures that tell us that we can take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Is that we don't, just because the thought is there, that doesn't mean the thought needs to reign. Doesn't need to be the decision, the deciding factor. We can take the thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we can, Romans will tell us, we can be transformed. There can be a metamorphosis that takes place from one thing to another. Bullfrog to a butterfly, metamorphosis. That we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We don't need to be conformed to the image of this world, but we're renewed. There's a renewal that takes place. Just like Isaiah talked about, you renew your strength or you discover a new strength. Our minds can be renewed. And for me, I pretty much camp on this scripture when there's a mental battle going on about fasting specifically. I show up in Colossians chapter 3. Set your minds on things above, not on things beneath. Well, I was raised with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. That's the place of authority. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Take those thoughts captive. And I remember the commitment that I make and why I'm doing what I'm doing. But there is a mental battle. But all of these are places that we can win. There's also a spiritual battle that goes on when we fast. And can we just acknowledge and settle this point about the spiritual battle? The enemy does not want us to fast and pray. Of all of this stuff, the battles that go on, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, the enemy does not want us to pray and fast. There's nothing in his heart that thinks that's a good idea. But I'll tell you, spending time with God as a higher priority than food. The enemy doesn't want us to do that. Drawing away from food and drawing near to God, the enemy doesn't want us to do that. Spending time in the Word and prayer, the enemy doesn't want us to do that. And he will pull out all the stops to derail us in this decision. When Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and was hungry, you know what the first temptation the enemy threw at him was? When he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. It's not just this sometimes picture we have of Jesus that he wasn't hungry when he fasted. Afterwards, he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones be turned to bread. If you are who you say you are, command these stones to be turned to bread." Eat something. We know this was a real temptation. Jesus was hungry. And Jesus responded by quoting the book of Deuteronomy when he said, "It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." What I find so interesting is in the midst of this spiritual battle, the devil saying, "Go ahead and eat something, break this way." Jesus responds by quoting scripture. And do you know what the enemy does? He responds by quoting scripture. Takes him to the next temptation. He says, "Oh, you can quote scripture, I can too. Here's a verse. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, and their hands they'll bear you up lest you dash your foot against the stone." See, the devil can quote scripture. He's been twisting it for years. For his plans and purposes. "Turn these stones to bread." What was that all about? Break the fast on my terms. Don't break your fast on the devil's terms. Break them on God's. Break it on being faithful to your commitment. Don't break on the enemy's terms. I tell you, I'll walk into our commitments and walk into our kitchen and think, "Barry, you turn these ingredients into a lasagna." don't break it on the enemy's temptation. Fasting is a spiritual act. There's spiritual warfare involved. Somehow even getting us to focus on food or the lack of it instead of focusing on prayer or the Word or presence of God. Then if he distracts us like that, then he derails us. It can't be that we're focused on food or focused on not eating. We've got to take those thoughts captive. Take those thoughts captive. Put them aside. Focus on the Lord. "Jesus, I take pleasure in spending time with you. I take pleasure in opening the Bible and allowing you to speak to me through your word by your spirit. And I believe that we will be able to say what Jesus said, I have food you know not of. There's a spiritual dynamic that takes place, but there is a spiritual battle. And the other thing, the last thing is there's a social battle. Keeping fasting private. People look at the scriptures and say, well, we're supposed to not let people know we're fasting. And yet we're responding corporately. And the walking through of that, and I'll just address that in a second. But the many times even this week that there might be social things going on that you're a part of, and how do you gracefully say no without making a scene and without being demonstrative? No, I can't. I'm fasting. You know, other people saying, "Well, what are you fasting?" You know, it's not a contest. It's not a contest of what we can or what we can't do. It's our relationship with the Lord. Draw away from something and draw to the Lord, and spend time with Him. Jesus would say in Matthew's gospel, he'd say, moreover, when you fast, there's the verse, when you fast, not if you fast. And even though we set aside a week at the beginning of this year, there are times throughout the year people will pray and fast and seek the Lord. When you fast, don't be like the hypocrites with sad countenances, for they disfigure their faces and that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you don't appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who's in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. When you fast, don't appear to have a man cold. Enough said. We get it. Don't make it look like it's so hard and terrible. Can you get me a drink of water and all the things? Comb your hair, wash your face. I don't know if there's another version that says don't look pathetic, but I think that's kind of it. It says when people do this, they have the reward, the acknowledgement from others. They have their reward. And I think that there is a real difference between an award and a reward. We are not doing, we don't fast for an award. Look at what I did. Look at what I accomplished. Look at how long I made it. Look at, none of that. That's an award. Award given for something done. Merit, service, whatever. An award. I'm not looking for an award, but I am looking for a reward. And the reward is not acknowledgement from other people. There is the Father who sees in secrets. There's a difference between an award and a reward. Here's the reward I'm looking for. In Genesis 15, God said to Abram, I am your exceedingly great rewards. In Hebrews, it says that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And there's such an invitation and a call to seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He is near. So we set aside this time. And rather than close in a prayer with our eyes closed, as often I will do, I would like to pray this morning with our eyes open. I'd like to pray five things. First is this, may we discover new strength as we wait upon Him. May that be our prayer. May there be an impartation of new strength as we wait upon Him. Those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They're going to mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not faint. May we not only renew our strength, but may we discover new joy and peace as we focus on Him. If there has been a lack of joy or a lack of peace in your life, may there be an impartation of those things as we spend time with Jesus. Jesus, in His presence, there's fullness of joy. There is peace that passes understanding. He said that He wanted our joy to be full, and something's not full till it overflows. May there be such joy in our lives that we discover. We get to this point where we think, I'm never going to eat again. You know, just this is so good. My heart was, may we be as excited about fasting as we get as about feasting. Look at the plans that we're going to have for feasting. What about the plans for fasting? May there be such a joy and such a peace that comes. May we be transformed as we renew our minds on His Word. May there be a transformation of the way we think as we spend time with Him. I pray that as we open His Word, God would breathe His Word into your life. God breathe a word in season that you will hear. You have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you. May there be transformation. Not just transmission of information, transformation as we renew our minds. And may we begin and finish in the Spirit. On God's terms, not on the enemy's terms. We're going to start on God's terms, we're going to end on it. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Paul will write, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? We want to begin in the Spirit, with the Spirit, by God's strength, walking with Him, and that's how we want to end. Not on the enemy's terms, not because of some temptation. He will provide a way of escape. And then lastly, may we be rewarded by a closeness and an intimacy with God. My prayer, our prayer, may there be a reward. God, I think of the old hymn, just a closer walk with Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. That by next Sunday we will say, I have met with the Lord. I have been with Jesus. And may there be such a palpable difference like the disciples were accused of. These were uneducated and unlearned men, but we could see they had been with Jesus. May it be our testimony that we have been with Jesus. A closeness and an intimacy with God. Tara and the team, I'm going to invite you to come. We're going to close with a time of worship. But here's some things to remember this week. The church is open every night right here from 7 till 8. We won't be open much earlier than that. Probably doors open by about 6:45. And doors closed by 7:45. But we're here every night. If you can't come every night, please, we just wanted to make sure that hopefully there would be at least a night where everyone would be able to come. From 7 till 8, Monday through Saturday. There's a daily prayer focus. And you can find that starting tomorrow. Foursquare.ca has it. In fact, our own website, cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com, has it. On Facebook, our Cornerstone page, we will post it. You can sign up for a daily email on those locations to get an email delivered to your inbox every morning about a daily prayer daily devotional and prayer focus written by 7 of our unit supervisors from across our country. As you exit the sanctuary this morning, on the desk, the receptionist desk out there, there's two pieces of paper. One's a very colorful, the other just black and white. One has to do with prayer tips. Some explain fasting a little more. You're welcome to a copy of each if that's helpful. Just some tips and tools in our hands to launch us into this week of prayer and fasting. Somehow, may we respond to the Lord. I invite you today, make a decision. I had to visit with Audrey yesterday. We've been trying to find a time where we could just talk. I said, we need to talk. We took half an hour or so and just sat down and talked. What are we going to do? How are we going to walk through this? What meals are we going to eat? What meals are we going to fast? What days? Just looking at, and we carved out a schedule. So, because if I know I get to tomorrow and I don't have a plan, well, I'm not going to start yet. And yeah, just some. I encourage you, take time to make a plan. God, give me wisdom. A plan that's attainable, achievable. And may we meet with the Lord all week long.